The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, welcome back. Shall we do a guided meditation together and just sit and experiment? Yeah, let's do that. So if you need to get more props, to become more comfortable, this is a fine time to get up and get more cushions and whatever you need. And for those of you who are sitting, maybe this is a good time to move a little bit in your seat. Just kind of like maybe just listen to your body. Be mindful of your body here. Our practice is starting right now with exploration of mindfulness some more. Like exploring, what is your body telling you if you listen to it? Does it need to move a little bit? Maybe your arms, maybe your neck. Maybe not. Just pay attention to what's needed. As you settle in your seat, in your cushion or your chair, really landing, arriving in this body, in this moment, in this human body, at this time, however shape or form it's taking. Allowing your spine to naturally be supported and straight, as if there was a magnet on top of your head, gently, ever so gently pulling up. There's nothing for you to do. It's just, it's doing itself. Allowing your spine to straighten up vertebrae by vertebrae. And then allowing the rest of your body to relax and soften and melt. Allowing, beginning with your face, allowing your face to melt. Your forehead. Your eyes, your nose, your cheeks, your jaw, especially jaw, holds so much tension in the jaw. As well as the eyes, revisit the eyes, letting them really melt, rest in the socket. Your tongue. Your chin. Your ears. Your whole face, the mask you wear, just let it droop. Let gravity pull it down. Inviting all the tightness and tension. and your whole head. Soften, melt your neck. Letting your neck melt, your shoulders. Your upper arms, your lower arms, your hands, let them melt. Your chest, let your chest melt. Your back, upper back, lower back, your lower back and your belly, your abdomen. Letting go, softening. As if you're a block of ice melting, softening, melting, drop by drop, drip by drip. Your bottom, your sit bones, your groin area, softening, melting into the earth. Your upper legs, your knees, lower legs, and feet. Opening up. Checking in with your whole body now, relaxing, softening, melting, if tension has crept anywhere. Your whole body melting. And with every out-breath, see if you can melt some more, let go some more. Even if it feels like you're completely soft and melted and relaxed, still surprise yourself with the next out-breath. Sinking in more deeply with the next out-breath. And as you sink in more deeply into this softening, letting go, relaxation of the body, I invite you to open up to knowing the breath kind of diffusely, perhaps, at first. Kind of being aware ever so gently, as if you were a cow herder sitting under a nice tree in the shade. Relaxed, your body completely relaxed as it is right now. Just keeping an eye, diffusely being aware of the cows in the field. Eating, chewing, just aware, ever so gently. Open up to be aware of your breath, gently moving within the framework of the body. So being aware, opening up to your whole body. Opening up to the whole body ever so diffusely, just the sensation of the body relaxed. Body relaxed, melted. And breathing. Almost the feeling of a sleepy Sunday. That sense of relaxation and ease. Not so much the sleepiness, but the relaxation and ease. Now opening up some more, as if the boundary of your body was a few inches out, more spacious. Diffuse knowing. Diffuse unentangled. Non-reactive knowing. Now opening it up a little further, letting the relaxed, expansive awareness include the sounds of the room and awareness of the sense of space. Knowing spaciously. The body completely relaxed and soft, melted, still melted, with open, receptive awareness. Sounds as they arise and pass. The breath as it is breathed, like a breeze moving through the body. Knowing clearly what's happening, yet diffuse, open, spacious. Maybe thoughts arise and pass in this space. Not getting entangled in this vastness of this field of awareness. Plenty of space in the sky for the thoughts to arise and pass like puffs of cloud. As if you were lying down on the grass, expansively watching the sky. Clouds coming and going, the thoughts. Aware of whatever is arising and passing. Whether it's the breath being breathed, sounds, thoughts, maybe emotions, like weather patterns come and go. Sense of space, non-reactive, unentangled. Seeing clearly, yet spaciously, clarity of mind, like a bright, crisp day, and yet spacious, open. If you notice you're getting sleepy at any point, know that the energizing factors are available to you. You can bring in more energy or virya simply by breathing more deeply, bringing more brightness to the mind. We're sitting a little more upright. Just a little bit more upright can bring in more energy. Still relaxed, spacious, but more clarity. Can also bring more investigation, Dhamma Vichaya, curiosity, to the state of knowing. What it is like to know. To see. To be with clearly. I invite you to let go of this simile, of this metaphor. And now we'll try on the other metaphor, allowing your body to be relaxed. And limber. Imagining you have the task of moving through a crowd without bumping into them and without them bumping into you, with a vat of oil on top of your head. So the level of care, of attention, of attentiveness that brings to your awareness. Not wanting to drip or lose the object. And that way, being attentive. To the sounds. That arise and pass. The kind of quality that this kind of knowing brings. The sensations of breathing within the framework of the body. Still letting your body be relaxed, because imagine that's how you can be limber and move through the clouds. You can't tighten up and be tense. That won't work. You still need to be relaxed and limber. Get more attentive. Relaxed but attentive. Beware of not getting tight. Knowing, being aware of the breath as it moves through in and out with clarity. And yet, if another sensation in the body is more prevalent, allowing that to become the foreground. In fact, imagine if you had the vat on your head right now, sitting upright, being attentive to whatever is arising in the sphere of your experience. Without the vat dripping. Whatever arises in your sphere of experience, breath, sensations, thoughts arising and passing, emotions, states of mind. Simply a different quality of paying attention. Different tone. Different way. And yet similar in the clarity of knowing and being unentangled, non-reactive, kind, non-judgmental. Now we'll bring on a third experiment, being the scientist of our own minds. With that one, we bring in this feeling of the precision of a scalpel in our knowing, in our unentangled knowing. Again, make sure you don't get tight in your body. Let the body stay relaxed and soft. That's very important. And yet, the mind can be more bright, more precise. Have yet more clarity in knowing whatever object of attention comes into view. Knowing your breath, perhaps. You notice something different or new about your in-breath or your out-breath you haven't noticed before. As you pay more attention with more clarity and precision, perhaps if thoughts are rising, maybe seeing them more vividly, more clearly, the pattern of thinking, the quality of thinking. the residue of the thoughts in the body. Perhaps you see that more clearly. Again, the body stays relaxed. The mind has more precision, more clarity in seeing clearly, perhaps seeing the edges of what you see more clearly, more in focus. Without judgment, without entanglement, just simply knowing and seeing, that's all. Just simply knowing and seeing. It's like this. In the moment when the bell is rung, I invite you to make it a conscious practice of listening to the sound of the bell. With clarity, let there be clarity. A lot of ground we covered, and yet we didn't move at all. So let's get into groups of four, and each person will have a monologue for a few minutes. And as we get into groups, just sharing what arose, what you noticed, what happened, what worked, what didn't. Just sharing whatever seems supportive and letting yourself be held witness. So let me actually say a few words because I want to set up this interactive mindfulness exercise, not just as go out and talk, but it's a very careful, really, it's part of our practice actually today. It's part of our mindfulness practice. This factor of mindfulness we're exploring today, we're going to now bring it into the interaction, okay? So as you get into, actually even right now, as I've talked about the idea of getting into groups, notice, be aware of what's coming up. Yay! Oh no, yay, whatever it is, just notice, okay. Don't get entangled. Just notice, oh, that's what's happening right now. That's the truth of this moment, okay. I see. And then as you get into groups, as we get into groups, continue to be mindful of the body. We haven't yet talked about the things you can be mindful about, the satipatthanas, the four foundations of mindfulness. I'll talk about that later. But actually, well, I'll talk now. The first foundation of mindfulness in the Satipatthana Sutta is mindfulness of the body, right? So there are different objects you can be mindful of, not just how you can be mindful, but what you're being mindful of. And you know these already. You've heard them many times before. The first one being the body. And we explore that in the guided meditation with the breath, sensations in the body. You're being mindful, just knowing, clearly knowing. So, as we move to this interactive practice, which is really a segue into daily life practice, because you practice with others, you listen, you talk. So what we bring in now is mindfulness of the body as your anchor. Kaya gatasati. Kaya gatasati. Kaya is the body. Gata, gone to. Sati, mindfulness. Mindfulness gone to the body. Kaya gatasati. If you don't do anything, just do kaya gatasati, mindfulness of the body. Let there be mindfulness of the body. So as you're speaking, as you're listening. So as you're listening, you're holding space with mindfulness, with sati. You're aware internally of what's happening in your body, feeling your body, sensing it grounded, feeling it, the feet on the floor, your bottom on the cushion, etc. So mindfulness internally and non-judgmentally, of course, that's the quality. And mindfulness externally. You're mindful, you're holding space for what is being said, for what is being said, right? Again, holding non-judgmental space. Just listening. You don't even have to say, or thinking about the next thing you're going to say. You're just mindful. You're just holding space. You're just aware of what is being shared. So this is perhaps, you know, this is an exercise. You know, try it on for size. It's not the usual normal mode of interacting with people in public, but try this on for size. See what it feels like. And becoming aware, mindful of your train of thought. You will be thinking of the thing you want to say, the next thing you want to say, etc. Just see everything clearly. It's a practice of mindfulness. We're actually right now, we're bumping it up. We're bumping up our exploration of sati from just sitting quietly to like, whoa, we're bumping it up both internally and externally. Okay? Yeah? You're up for the challenge? Okay. So, person who's listening, mindfulness of the body internally, mindfulness of your thoughts, emotions, internal mindfulness, external mindfulness, holding space, not judgmental, noticing what's in, and listening with your whole body, holding space, not interrupting. The person who is speaking similarly, but to let you know that mindfulness of speaking, being mindful of your body, sometimes is a little harder. So if you notice you lose it and you keep coming back, it's okay. Don't self-flagellate. It's just a little harder, but it's a practice that you can get better at while you're talking, you know, feeling your body, like keeping an internal measure. So as I'm talking with you, I just noticed actually my belly was a little tight. I had been feeling my bottom on the cushion, so I was staying embodied, but my belly not so much. Okay, I feel my belly now more. Okay, yeah, breath is moving. So I can continue to speak and I can have kind of, you know, goes in and out, internal, external, okay? And again, if you lose it, it's okay. When speaking, it tends to be a little more difficult. And the prompt is, how was that meditation for you? Different things you observed with the cow herder kind of paying attention, that level of stance of spaciousness, openness, relaxation of the body. So actually what we did, at first I invited you to really relax your body, melt, 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 melt. That is so important. When the body is relaxed, the mind can relax and just kind of open up. So that's the first thing we did. And then we tried on the simile of the cowherder. Open, spacious, expanding, noticing not just the breath and the body, but the sounds, thoughts arising and passing as if clouds. That's the next thing we tried. After that, it was the vat on your head, that kind of quality of attention and more attentive. So what that brought up for you, what did that feel like? And the last one was the precision, the level of precision. What if you were noticing something new about your breathing or something new about your thinking, the pattern of your thoughts or the clarity or what's just more precision? So you can talk about any of those in the group, all of them if you have time, just one of them, just see what feels right. And one last thing to say, and this is really important, saving the best for last. In this sharing, in this interactive exercise of mindfulness, when you're speaking not for the benefit of others. You're speaking for your own benefit. You're speaking so that you're held witness by others. Not to educate them, impress them, nothing. You're just sharing. You're just, because as you'll see, when we actually say out loud and are held witness by other conscious beings about what happened, it's a practice. It can bring more insights into our own process. So the people who are listening are serving as mindfulness mirrors for you. Okay? So you're only speaking for your own sake. Yes? Okay. All right. So, let's get into groups. It's best if you're all sitting either on a chair or on the floor, same level. So, please, just get into groups. So, yay. So, this is a great time to hear from group wisdom. What did you notice? What arose for you? Did you notice something that was new for you in your practice? Exploring different modes of mindfulness, different styles? And also you can also comment on if you wish in the practice of interactive mindfulness, speaking and listening.
It wasn't easy for me to speak and focus on my body at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like when I'm speaking, I'm just blurt everything out, yeah. You know. Not even thinking about my body. So yeah. This time, I had to like focus on my body and then speak and then focus on my body. Yeah, so yeah. It's a good practice.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when they're talking, you know, usually I listen and then have confirmation or have something to say, but this time I was like focusing on my body and I felt the compassion, the expansiveness in my heart. It felt so good to just listen and just feel your body,
yeah.
Instead of, you know, trying to say something to either, yeah, that's a good idea, oh no, that's not a good idea, you know, I always have opinions. But yeah. This time I just, you know, don't have any opinion and just listen to my body.
Yeah.
It's a really good exercise.
Nice, thank you for sharing that. I love what you just said. It just feels so good just to listen, doesn't it? Did anybody else find that? It felt good just to listen. Yeah. Yeah. Ah, yeah. It's a great practice. And just as you said, it's not easy at first, especially when you're with speaking. It's more difficult, but it's a practice. It can become, yeah, exactly. It can become a practice. And at least you can have one anchor point that you can stay with. while you're talking, and the other anchor person can go in and out. So I can say that for me, you know, I have an anchor point, which is continuous, but the most of the body, there is the in and out also. So it's taken a while, because since you asked me earlier to talk about my own practice here, I'm sharing a little more. But I think that the practice of just listening, it's just wonderful to just listen, to just listen. It's easier. And if we could only choose one practice, I think mindful listening would be it. It just relaxes the mind, it relaxes the heart, just as you notice, compassion arises. Yeah, that would be my favorite.
So you're able to speak and listen to your body at the same time?
So I can speak. So right now, as I'm speaking with you, I'm feeling my body. I mean, there's one point of contact that I always feel. It's usually my bottom on the cushion. You know, I kind of feel my bottom. Sometimes if I'm sitting on the chair, it's my feet on the... So it's continuous, but for the rest of it, for my belly and other places, it's kind of like that. That needs more work for me still, but there is one point, which is just being grounded, like my bottom on the cushion, the touch point, that's just continuously. And also my legs are now available to me. Like I can just talk with you and still feel my legs and bottom. And also my breath too. Actually, as I talk to you more and more, it's opening up even more and more because I'm bringing more attention to it. So yeah, and I'm realizing, especially if something I say kind of feels tight, then I kind of feel that from my belly tightening or my breath tightening a little bit. So it's available.
I still have to go back and forth.
Yeah.
After I say things, then I feel my body.
Yeah.
And say nadra, right. And I feel my body. Yeah.
I think I did that for a long, long time. Yeah. What else, please? What did you notice?
I really enjoyed the meditation and the group afterwards. And at one point, one of the people speaking just stopped speaking, and we just sat there. And I'm usually somebody that really is aware of the aggravation of silence in a conversation. And have lots of tricks to, you know, fill it. Like, well, have you seen any good movies lately? You know, I just, because and it's an irritant. And yet today, to have this person just like, that's it. I didn't feel that imperative to keep the energy up and to keep the person in a certain communicative mood. And I love not having that responsibility.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice. I loved what you said. You love not having that responsibility. It's not yours anyway to take on. On your shoulders. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's so nice. She's giving up the responsibility. She's right? She's giving. It's great. It's great. It's lovely because you can put it down. You can put it down. The mind habitually picks it up and feels anxious about it, but you can just put it down and be non-reactive, unentangled with what is there, which is silence. Nice, thank you.
Well, as the person who was silent, it was a different experience for me because I'm usually so talkative, but I realized that I had said what was worth saying or what I needed to say.
Yeah.
And it was great not to feel an imperative to keep talking because the time wasn't up yet.
So
I'm thankful to the group for receiving that.
I love that, you know, not feeling responsible for continuing to talk and not feeling responsible to have another person. It's just like, there's a sense of peace and ease. Just being with things as they are. Thank you for both of those. Appreciate hearing both of the sides. What else? What did you observe from the... Yeah.
One.
Yes, people can say their names if they want to.
My name is Ek. This is something I was noticing every time I was doing this particular practice of listening and saying, in a way, you have guided us. Today again I got a little bit more deeper taste of it, which was the way she said how her heart felt at ease by just listening. And this actually cultivates a strength in me to do same with myself. My inner self is trying to say something to me. I am not just listening. By listening to the group, in a way, is developing that quality in me to listen myself as well.
Lovely.
So that is more...
Yeah. That's lovely.
Yeah.
That's lovely, thank you. Yeah, please.
I just want to support what you said because it's really important. Because just for some of the people who have already spoken, if you listen to what's going on inside yourself more so, then you know that you maybe don't want to talk and that you're feeling some kind of pressure to say something, but you notice that pressure and you tune into letting it go. So I just want to reiterate how valuable that is to really pay attention to the bodily signs of what you want to, if you want to, communicate and in what way. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. So... I really appreciate the theme that has been developing in terms of really listening clearly, just being mindful of, because, you know, one shorthand for mindfulness is listening, deep listening, actually. And here, literally, we're using it as listening, the act of listening to someone else, but actually when you're mindful, you're deeply listening to from the inside to what's arising inside you, what is your body saying, what are your organs saying, what are your senses saying, what is your heart saying, deeply listening, just listening, just holding witness. So and with the societal aspect, often there are so many pressures that we feel or we put on ourselves. There are all these voices, oh, you should say something, you should do this now, or you should do this, you should do that. Like deeply listening, what's happening in here? What's arising? What is true? What is really true in here? So, yeah, great. I'm delighted to hear all of this arising from our interactive mindfulness practice. What else? What did you observe? Either from the second, especially from the first one, actually, from the silence. There's from the guided meditation, if you wish.
So this is more around the listening when we're just talking
if
about.
If you want to say your name, people are welcome to.
Yeah, Daphna is my name. Daphna. So my head coming in, I definitely had a lot of... just energy moving in my head. And through the meditation, at the very end, with the precision, the clarity, I was able to see some thought patterns that felt like they were very much connected to the physical sensation I was having in my head. And so the thought patterns themselves weren't in, you know, nice thought patterns. They weren't comfortable. They felt really rigid. And they also had a strong component of responsibility attached to them. And so just noticing also, you know, getting quiet enough, having the body relax enough to see what that thought pattern was that was causing a bit of a storm in my head. It's really nice and valuable.
Nice, yeah. Great. Thank you. I appreciate mm-hmm. that. I appreciate you calling out the relationship you felt between the pattern of thinking, the thoughts, and the sensations, you know, the qualitative feeling in the body, which is really important to see, actually, firsthand, because every thought we have, every thought, ranging from the thought storms, which are strong thought patterns, to the tiny little whispers of thought, even when they're pleasant, they all have a manifestation in the body. Mm-hmm. We often don't see that. And it's wonderful to start seeing it with the thought storms, to start seeing like, whoa, look how my body, it's like it's showing up in the body, the energy of it, the sensations. And then you become more tuned to see even the whispers. This became very clear to me, has become clear to me over time in my own practice. Again, I'm sharing right from my practice. There was a time when I was on a silent retreat. I don't know how long it was. So my mind was really quiet, really, really quiet. There weren't that many thoughts anymore. There was a lot of sensitivity. So, and I noticed seeing when any thought bubble would bubble up. And it wasn't a difficult thought or a bad thought. Not any thoughts are bad, but it wasn't even a difficult thought or... it was, I don't know what it was, just any thought, like lunch, I don't know. I would feel the reverberation of every thought in my body. Wow. It's always there. We're not sensitive enough. Our minds aren't quiet enough to see them. Now imagine, you know, the difficult thoughts, of course, you know, like, you know, after, for example, you've been angry or upset or anxious, you know, don't you feel sick? I feel kind of sick, like, kind of nauseated sometimes. It just feels like it, but even the subtle thoughts, all thoughts. So that's, I'm glad you saw that. That's pretty cool. What else? What else did you notice? Did you notice differences in your mode of mindfulness? The cow herder, the vat of oil, the precision, the different feelings and qualities come up for you that were distinct. Like, oh, this feels different. Anyone who hasn't spoken yet, if you would like to comment on that. Yeah, please. Amy.
In general, I had a little hard time following along, but for the parts that my mind was able to follow along with the first simile, there was an image in the mind of like being in a pasture, like green, serene, very easeful, and it brought like a sense of ease into the body, the sense of not having to do anything. Especially paying attention to sounds brought a more broader awareness, but also more diffuse, like it was not very collected. And then the second simile, there was a sense of focusing more, like, oh, you really need to pay attention now to whatever is happening, you know. But in general, not much stability, like I wasn't able to really follow the breathing very easily, would easily be distracted by thoughts and plans. And then the third one, I couldn't follow along because I had changed positions and then it was harder for me to, my mind to follow along. But that's what I experienced.
Thanks for sharing that, because they are qualitatively very different, and it sounds like today, you know, there was, you know, in your mind or different, you know, you still felt the flavor of them, even if there was a lot going on in your body and your mind today, and you know, that's fine. Some days are like that, no problem. And yet there was enough clarity to, like, oh yeah, this feels open, spacious, and oh, this feels more, oh, there's more precision, more energy. Yeah, thank you. What else? Mitra.
The same thing with me. The first simile was just felt really relaxed. It was a combination of that and also doing the meditation.
The melting, on, yeah.
Yeah. It felt like I could stay. And as we went on with the second one and the third one, it felt like I was more, I was less concentrated. I uh-huh. completely lost it. I was worried that I'm not able to do this. This is like real life now. I'm so tense. I couldn't focus on my body anymore. And one thing that I noticed after talking in the group, it was that then it felt like I was more willing to let the thoughts come in, so they take me away, because I can't do this anymore. I'm failing at it, so I'm going to let the thoughts do their thing. And it felt more like real life.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. It's what I'm hearing is there was a thought that came up, and it became a self-fulfilling prophecy. Oh, I can't do this. And then, oh, the mind was so anxious and nervous that it kind of like there wasn't any stability, then allowing thoughts, okay, this thought is so painful that, oh, I can't do this, I'm failing, to open up to other thoughts to come and take it away. So, and this might be a pattern of thinking that might happen elsewhere in your life, in your daily life also, when something is presented to you, something new, unfamiliar, and instead of the thought coming up, oh, I can do this, the thought comes up, oh, I can't do this. Why not? I mean, they're just thoughts. They're a dime a dozen. You know, how about this, believing this other one, that, oh, I can do this. I can do this. Let me do this. You know, why don't we believe that one instead of this other one of, oh, I can't do this, right? We have choice. But it's the, so to recognize, see the habit pattern of the mind, that thought comes up, it's believed, and it becomes the reality. And then it shapes the experience. Whereas just as well, this other thought could have come up, or I can do this, I will try this, why not? This is fun, let's check it out. I'll be a scientist of my own mind, whatever your version is, kind of giving yourself to it. So that's what I'm hearing has happened. So I invite you to see that pattern when it comes up in daily life. It's wonderful that it came up in this example, in this experience, because there was nothing about those other modes that were more daily life or any more difficult, really. They were just different.
They were more intense.
Not so much, you know, not so much. But see, it's the belief that you thought they were more intense before actually checking it out. And it's like, this is actually not so intense, because I kept saying, your body stays relaxed. Your body stays completely relaxed and nimble. So it's still the same relaxation. You can do the other modes if your body's tight. So it's the same level of relaxation and ease. There's just more energy in the mind. That's the only difference. That's the only difference. Does that make sense? Yeah. So as I was tracking my own experience, it was exactly as I shared with you. There was a sense of ease and relaxation. And just, oh, the mind is just more bright. There's more clarity. But, the body needs to stay relaxed in order for that to happen. That's how you can see more distinctions. But still, it's really relaxed. So maybe that part wasn't very clear to you. And it's okay. You can experiment with it later if you want. Because it's another mode. But the point I want to make is not so much about this meditation alone and this mode alone, that you're welcome to experiment and listen to the audio again and, you know, check it out. But it's the more being mindful of the pattern that comes up and then, losing it. Great. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah. Daryl.
Found it helpful that through the similes I was able to identify a certain mode in my meditation, because mm-hmm. I would say that I have I experience all three of those similes in the normal course of my meditation.
Yeah.
But I couldn't articulate them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think that my when I meditate, my first default mode for that would be this simile of the cattle. Imagine the cattle, and it's kind of a dance of my attention flickering amongst various things, and including noticing it, maybe a thought starting and then letting it go. But I will sometimes get carried away in a thought, or the meditation's not going well, get it calm. And so I will move to one of the other two modes as part of that, kind of getting back on track in a way. And I think that sometimes when I'm meditating, I get a kind of a rise of kind of a bliss that's kind of there, and it seems that it comes more when I'm in that mode of the third one, the scalpel, the distinction. Mm. But then, and I think that's all I need to say. It was interesting. It helped me kind of have a little more clarity on what's happening during a meditation.
Right, these modes that you naturally slip into and out of, to actually, this cartography of this land.
Yeah, I feel a little bit empowered to move between those modes
with
some intention and stuff.
Yes. Right, great.
Knowing it's happening.
Yeah, and I also really appreciate the other thing that you brought in, which was how you've noticed sometimes when you have the more open awareness, the cowherder attitude, sometimes there may not be enough stability in the mind, mm-hmm. so the mind gets distracted. And then what you do is you switch intentionally to another mode, which is the mode that has a little more precision, like a little more... precision, like either the scalpel or the vat of oil, just a little more energy. And I love that, because that's exactly what I would advise everyone to do. That's actually a teaching, because sometimes we move in and out of these ways of knowing depending on what is happening in our mind and body. So sometimes, exactly with open awareness, if there's not enough stability, then it helps to bring more, you know, really connect with the object more, kind of touch it, like, you know, rub it a little with more clarity. And those two other modes can bring a little more samadhi, actually, a little more stability to the mind. But sometimes what can happen is that being in those two modes, the mind can get a little tight. If it's a little too tight, then might be... I wouldn't say if it's too tight. Scratch that for a moment. The tightness, you do something else for. So if the mind gets too tight in those, you relax the body. The time you would move out of the more precision mode to the spacious mode, if you want to, is when there is a lot of stability in the mind already. There's a lot of samadhi, concentration. I don't like that word, stability, unification in the mind already. And then you're like, I can open up, because the mind is still going to be stable. Still going to be stable when you take down the scaffold. So moving in and out of them. Yeah. And I love all the modes, actually. And all the modes are so helpful and supportive. The open spacious mode is just restful, easy to access. It's just kind of seeing things arising and passing, knowing, just knowing. You know what's happening. The two other modes with more precision, you can see clearly, you can grok, like, that's what's happening. Wow. And sometimes you kind of are in you have the more spacious mode, and then it's like, wait a minute, my mind is kind of like going all over the place. What's happening? And then you clearly see, there's this emotion happening, blah, blah, blah. So there's more precision with the other modes that can really, it's like a more scientific precision of seeing how the system is working. They're all fun, this mind.
I like having the analogies now. I feel like it's helpful to get into that mode.
Yeah. Exactly. I love the analogy too. So years ago, I actually started to. I was sitting in a retreat, and Bhikkhu Anālaya was teaching, and this was a retreat at IMS, Inside Meditation Society, in Barre, Massachusetts, and Bhikkhu Anālaya, who wrote his thesis on Satipatthana Sutta and the Four Foundations of Mindfulness Sutta, and he was giving a retreat together with Joseph Goldstein on the Satipatthana Sutta, the Four Foundations of Mindfulness Sutta. So different means of mindfulness. So he mentioned these similes, which I had heard before. But, you know, you can hear the same teaching at a different time. You're in a different place. It lands completely differently, and you practice. So when he was mentioning these similes, especially the one with the vat of oil, when I heard her, I thought, I'm actually going to really try this on for size. Because the similes that the Buddha gives, they're not just these pretty poetic things. They're actually instructions. So I really, as I was walking around doing walking meditation, I imagined I had a vat of oil on my head. It was awesome. It was just like another dimension of mindfulness opened up for me, practicing with this as an instruction, not as a pretty poetic story. So I invite you to try that. As you're walking around, maybe later today, imagine you have a vat of oil on your head. Or when you're sitting somewhere, imagine you're a cowherder and you're on this field. And just like really try them on for size. And it's the same with the other similes, by the way. They're not like when you read a pretty simile, try it on. Mm-hmm. Those are instructions. Yeah, please, Sue.
I really appreciated the similes. And what's interesting is you talking about trying this on for size. What came up for me when you were, first you introduced the similes, and especially the one about the vat of oil on the head, I immediately thought of, wow, there are millions of us who have experienced trauma and have gone through life exactly like this with hypervigilance wherever we go. Always expecting, you know, danger. Danger's everywhere. Mm. So that simile to me really spoke to, wow, the Buddha's talking about, you know, how we can have a way to navigate through this world in a way that, you know, we're releasing ourselves from suffering, instead of always expecting that person behind me is going to chop off my head. Because that's how I've been conditioned since childhood from trauma.
Yeah.
Or from anyone who's from a marginalized group trying to navigate through society these days. I felt that was a very useful teaching.
Thank you. I appreciate how that spoke to you, Sue, and how actually in that simile you found a sense of freedom, not a sense of being in fear or in danger, but a sense of freedom in your knowing. You know, the knowing can be so powerful, can be so empowering to be powerful of everything that's going around. A sense of empowerment in that. Nice, thank you. Anything else? Any other? Yeah.
So this is about the similes, all the similes you have shared with me.
Mm-hmm.
The first one was obviously very relaxed and it was kind of similar to sitting here and being mindful of it.
Mm-hmm.
Going to the next one was first letting go this relaxed simile. Now I am in this world, like she said.
Uh-huh.
Either in our day-to-day running around and some fear behind, something to do in front, watching everything, so many tasks to do, like daily life.
Yeah.
So second simile gave me a taste of like I am in my running around daily and so much struggle, so much worry, so much here and there, but still I am mindful.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there is a
nice
thing. Another simile took me to part of myself, which was a sense of, because I have spent my life manufacturing cars, making them with my hands, and
mm-hmm.
every single weld joint I need to be absolutely precise about it.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise I have to break whole component again for just that weld. So that is also a part. So these different similes took me there, but the most interesting simile which really opened like the aha moment for me was a gatekeeper.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sitting at a gate. Because my mind learns in images.
Right.
This is how my mind learns. So which situation I was in, like, I am a gatekeeper, but here the gate is my input senses of two eyes, two ears, and two nostrils. Whatever is coming, I am aware of it, and it's going. Whatever I'm sensing, watching. So all two passages, because this is something they already open, most of the time mm-hmm. open, especially
right,
ears
right.
and nostrils. But we are here to be aware, and whatever is coming and passing, mm-hmm. that's why there are two. So this whole, all the similes have spoke a different aspect of mindfulness to me. That's
yeah.
what I wanted to say.
Nice.
And it's not just we can cling with a particular type of mindfulness.
Right.
We have to
exactly
be able to navigate.
Navigate, and they're all available. You know,
yeah.
And whenever they're useful, allowing them to arise in different shapes and forms. And just what I was hoping today is to expand our idea of what mindfulness is, what sati is. There's so many different ways and shapes it can show up, and to cultivate those. And one thing I would say about the simile that spoke to you. With the gatekeeper, that is also, some people liken that to the function. It's not so much the mode, so I decided not to bring that in to the guided meditation because I was experimenting with the modes, but that's kind of, the simile is used for the function of mindfulness, which is as guarding the sense doors, like supporting to guide the sense doors. And in that way, in Buddhism, there are actually six sense doors. And the five are the five that you're familiar with, you know, seeing, smelling, tasting, hearing, touching. So the body is a sense door, the sensations. What's the sixth one? The sixth one is the mind, is the mind door, which is everything that you've ever experienced can replay itself in the mind door. So I bring that in because it's important, because a lot of times it's not just, you know, for example, say, you know I have a weakness for, say, sugar, so it's best if I don't buy sugar, bring it into my home, you know, sugary snacks, kind of like guard my senses from it, my eyes. But the same way with the mind, things can happen. So things can appear. So the mindfulness be serving as a gatekeeper. Is it helpful to have this kind of thought right now, or this emotion right now, or what's wholesome, what's unwholesome? So functioning in that way also, supporting wisdom. And again, as I said earlier, mindfulness doesn't do it on its own. It just clearly sees, but it helps wisdom to arise, to decide. So with that, it's 12:35, and let us take our break for lunch right now. So we'll be back in an hour for